The locals call it Rapa Nui. It's called Easter Island in sort of on Western maps because it was discovered
on Easter Day by Jacob Rochevin, a Dutch sailor.
And so for some hundreds of years, it's been a point of interest, a point of mystery. People will know about those massive stone sculptures, the ones that look like Malcolm Fraser. But your exhibition looks at the role of the place of Rapa Nui, Easter Island, in popular culture. When did you start?
I had an interest in this topic about 10 years ago. I have a number of research areas. One is film and visual culture, of which then cultural studies sits close to that. And another area is Pacific studies. And I'm more focused on Polynesia and New Zealand. And I've sort of looked at the other Polynesian islands around that, particularly around popular culture and visual culture. What the exhibition's looking at is popular culture representations of Easter Island or Rapa Nui, the way that Easter Island has appeared in non-Easter Island forms of culture. And we're talking about predominantly the US, Europe and Japan. They're the big players in this. And the sort of material that we're talking about ranges right across from advertising, adverts that you would see in magazines or on television, to record covers. Whole range of vinyl and CD covers have the Easter Island stone figures on them, through to comic books, 70, 80 odd comic books feature Easter Island either as a story or on the cover. Fiction film, animation, and through to household objects and board games. So it's a very diverse topic. And what I was interested in is looking at a Polynesian culture and how it has been mythologized or imagined from afar by another country. The most dominant one for Polynesia would actually be Hawaii. But Hawaii has a very particular line that is taken, and it's very much attached to American mythologies. I was more interested in East Island because of the more diverse world view that it attracts. I think if you're going to look around the world, those countries that have even more mythologization or more of the popular imagination than Easter Island, you're probably the big ones, Egypt, and the way that the mummies and the pyramids have been imagined as connected to science fiction or how they were built and whatever. That's probably the big one. But Easter Island is still very large in terms of popular imagination around the world.
Now, the idea of mythologizing, romanticizing the islands of the Pacific goes back almost as far as white folk discovered that there were islands in the Pacific.
Yes.
And we've got Robert Louis Stevenson going off to Vanuatu.
Sure.
And Jacques Brel has gone off to Vanuatu.
Sure.
So there is something about that. It's if you're in the cold northern hemisphere, warmth, beautiful, dusky maidens, grass skirts, the lot. But around Easter Island,
it's a different issue.
It's a very different issue because there's something in the popular imagination that is magical about it. That, you know, the New Ages went, it's one of those great energy nodes of the world.
I think two big issues that make Easter Island different to the initial description that you've just given there. Well, first of all, you're absolutely right that the Pacific, and we could home in more again on Polynesia, has this popular imagination in general that of romanticising the area. But to romanticise the area, one, it needs to be, in inverted commas, accessible. You need to be able to get there. You've mentioned Robert Louis Stevenson, who went to Samoa, or Gauguin, who went to the Marquesas. But it also needs people to create that romanticised myth or narrative. Easter Island is more difficult to get to, significantly more difficult to get to than those islands I've just mentioned. But also in the popular imagination, it's been seen, which is not true, but it's been seen and represented as an island devoid of people. The attraction of Easter Island are the carvings, the stone figures, the moai that the islanders built. Some people I meet say, so do we know who built them? And of course we do. It's the islanders who built them. They weren't built by aliens, which is one of the myths of the island. They weren't built by wizards. They weren't built by the lost continent of Mu, which is supposedly a continent like Atlantis that disappeared in the middle of the Pacific. Now, we know who made the moai. There are mysteries and enigmas around the island, but that's not one of them. And I think the world because so few people have been there, because it is so far away, because it's such a small island, because these stone figures are so immense, so many of them, and so well crafted, people have added their own ideas and imaginations as to, well, how do they get there? What are they doing there? And it doesn't attach to the romanticization myths that you described. There's a different series of myths to this, and the research I was doing put forward four myths that are relevant to Easter Island, which I actually believe can easily be then retranslated to studying other countries and their cultures as to what the Western world tends to do with those countries.
Well, it tends to either overrun them and plant sugarcane or turn them into tourist destinations. Easter Island is harder to get to, though one of my brothers has been there. You fly in on a Chilean plane and you can fly out again. But you're saying there are four myths, which, based around Easter Island, can be applied elsewhere. Shall we start with myth number one?
Sure. Well, in no particular order, but these myths, every object that's in the exhibition, we've got nearly 500 items in the exhibition, and every item in that exhibition can be applied to one or more of those four myths. They encapsulate, all those objects are encapsulated within those four myths. So the myth of creation possibly is the biggest of the four myths. Who made the Moai? As I've just mentioned, we know who made them, but in popular imagination, it's a different story. The myth of movement. The Moai can't get up out of the ground and walk. One of them does have legs, but they don't have feet. They don't talk, despite Night at the Museum saying that one of them talks when it gets to midnight or whatever at the Smithsonian Institute. But no, they can't move. But the popular myth is that they can walk and talk. And in fact, the islanders actually believe you shouldn't gossip near the Moai because they'll hear what you're saying. So even they have their own little myths on the island. The myth of power, that these Moai can fire lasers or cannons from their mouths and their eyes, that they can fly, which is part of the myth of movement, but it's part of the myth of power as well, that they are some source of energy that can be harnessed. And the myth of presence, this idea that, well, the Moai are so much associated with Easter Island. There are 14 of the Moai not on the island in various museums and different places around the world, but any of us can go to a garden centre and buy one and put it in our garden. And then we've got our own miniature Moai in our garden. And that's the myth of presence, relocating the Moai elsewhere. And most of the objects in the exhibition are at least a myth of presence, because you can buy fish tank objects or you could buy tissue box holders in the shape of Moai. That's relocating the image of the Moai outside, beyond the island.
And in fact, some of the aspects you're talking about, the idea that they may speak, the statue of Mimnon, the statue of Memnon was believed to sing. It turned out it's an acoustic phenomenon to do with wind and the stone. That you can trace a lot of these ideas. As you were saying, they're applicable to so many different cultures. In this case, they're focused on one tiny dot. What's the of the objects you've got in the exhibition of popular culture references, what's the earliest one?
It's interesting. A lot of the popular imagination of and the attraction to the island is, the majority of it is post-Second World War. Few comic books are from the 1940s, but the comic books kick in around about the 1960s. One of the factors of this attraction post-World War II is Thor Heyerdahl and his novel, his book Aku Aku, late 1950s, and that brought to the masses images and narratives and a sort of a description of the island that people hadn't had access to before. Another factor is after the Second World War, America engaged more with the Pacific in general. Some of its population had been stationed in the Pacific, and they brought back narratives and ideas of the Pacific as well. So most of the exhibition is post-Second World War. There are a few things from the early 1900s, but few.
And, of course, I know that there's only one frame in the exhibition devoted to the film Rapa Nui, which I think opened a lot of people's eyes to the environmental aspects of the island. And
there's one panel in the exhibition solely on the movie Rapa Nui, the Kevin Reynolds, Kevin Costner film. And an interest in the film Rapa Nui, along with one of the issues that we've just been discussing here, some of the myths that the people I meet on the street have their own ideas about Easter Island, which many of which are often wrong. So one of the ideas is that the islanders destroyed the island themselves by cutting down all the trees that were there in order to move the Moai. Well, first of all, there is no absolute knowledge as to exactly how the Moai were moved. There's different theories. One of them would have a lot of trees being cut down to roll them along on the logs. But that's not proven how they were moved. One of the stories from the islanders, one of the messages that or narratives from the islanders is that the Moai walked into their position. Well, clearly they didn't actually walk, but one of the ways of moving them is to toggle them, have them upright and toggle them into position, which would look like walking. So those sort of elements. But in terms of the trees on the island, yes, there was a point where all the trees went. But it wasn't just, and it wasn't solely just because of the islanders cutting down trees. There was a rat problem on the island that would have affected the growth of vegetation. There were climate issues that affected the island at different points. There's a whole series of factors. It's not just down to the islanders being crazy and cutting down every tree to move their Moai, which tends to be the popular story that the general public buys into.
And your exhibition is very much about those aspects of the story which have become popular. It's in Sydney, it's been to the Torhyde Isle Museum, it's been to the Captain Cook Museum in Great Britain.
Captain Cook Birthplace Museum in Middlesbrough, and before that it was launched at the British Museum. So it's got a good pedigree in the places it's been to. It's hopefully going to Berlin next year, June 2015, and should be, or hopefully, coming to Adelaide in 2017. If people can hold on for a few years, it'll be here in Adelaide as well.